Welcome to the official podcast for St. Philip's Episcopal Church in Rochester, Michigan. You can learn more about our church at our website, stpfeeds.org. Our Sunday services are at 8 and 10 a.m., and all are welcome. This podcast is the sermon for Sunday, August 27th, 2017.
We have spent this summer reading through the book of Genesis, the wonderful story of Jacob's family, culminating last week with the wonderful forgiveness of Joseph, of his brothers, reconciliation, and this wonderful moment for the Hebrews when they were safe and prosperous and numerous and happy. They had moved from Canaan down into Egypt to survive the famine. But Exodus begins with some ominous words. Now a new king arose over Egypt who knew not Joseph. No memory of Joseph's heroic actions, only a deep-seated fear of an immigrant threat. These Hebrews, who were multiplying and becoming stronger, were a dangerous threat in the eyes of Pharaoh, and so he came up with some strategies to control the Hebrews. He set over them taskmasters. We don't read the whole story. It felt like it today, but we don't read the whole story of Exodus. We just get these snippets. But they made them work and make bricks without straw. They were harsh and cruel in their treatment of the Hebrews and made them into slaves. Finally, despite all this, they were still multiplying, and Pharaoh said, "I know, we will kill every male child, and that will control the population, and our threat will be removed." Well, at these moments, if you notice in the Bible, and I notice it too in history, moments when things look the bleakest, that's when God intervenes. And God appoints a savior for the Hebrews in the person of Moses. Moses, who was born, if you read the story carefully, to two Levite parents. That means these are two people from the tribe that produces the priests of the Hebrew people. Moses will then be anointed as a priestly figure over the people. He is adopted by this wonderful story by Pharaoh's daughter and becomes a prince of Egypt, much like Joseph had been a prince of Egypt earlier in Genesis. It is Moses who will hear in the coming weeks, who will go through lots of trials and tribulations in order to bring his people out of slavery in Egypt and into the promised land. But Moses himself will not enter the promised land. He will be prevented. In this story, I hope you can hear some parallels to another significant birth in the Bible, another time of oppression for the Jewish people, another time when a king decided that killing male children was a good way of avoiding a threat. Ring any bells? King Herod and the birth of Jesus. Moses is for the Old Testament what Jesus becomes for the New Testament. In fact, that's what those words mean. It took me a long time into adulthood to know what Old Testament and New Testament meant. You may all know this, but if you don't, Testament is a old-fashioned word for covenant. And it is the law that Moses receives on Mount Sinai that becomes the first covenant. Well, not the first, but to be technical, the major covenant that God makes with Israel. Jesus, standing on the Mount of the Beatitudes, issues a new covenant. And that is why we call those two parts of the Bible the Old Covenant or Testament and the New Testament. Jesus reflects in some ways God's continuing action of saving his people. Now, not from Pharaoh in Egypt and not just one tribe, but now salvation will be for all people, from the Jews into the rest of the world, fulfilling their destiny to be a light to the nations. So, backing up, God picks Moses, and on the face of it, as a Levite, he's a good choice. But it turns out that in every other way, Moses is kind of a disaster. Moses cannot speak well. So how is he going to be the leader of this people? How is he going to speak God's word to Pharaoh when he has, we're not sure exactly what, some kind of speech impediment or stuttering? He says, I can't be the spokesperson for this people. I can't be your leader. And God says, oh, yes, you can. Moses, we find out, has a little bit of an anger management problem. This gets him in trouble several times. While he is a prince of Egypt, knowing his Jewish heritage, he sees a Hebrew slave being beaten, and impulsively he kills the Egyptian soldier. He's protected by his status, but he has to run away. There's a whole long story about that. But think about this. God chose a man who is a murderer to become the savior of his people. That's pretty remarkable. God chose a man who had no good ability to speak to be the leader of his people. Kind of remarkable. It's a pattern with God that God often chooses the least likely to accomplish God's great purposes for his people. And it's very heartening to me that God is able to use people who are flawed to accomplish the miraculous acts of salvation. Moses has another capacity that I think is critically important in his role, and it's something that St. Paul picks up on in his epistle to the Romans. Moses is able to put aside his own ego in order to discern what God is doing and to do God's will, to put aside his agenda for God's agenda. St. Paul writes to the church in Rome that this is one of the hallmarks of what it means to be the Christian community, that we must see ourselves as members of a body. It's a common image that Paul uses over and over. A body with all its many parts are indispensable to each other. They rely upon each other, and they cannot do without each other. We are members of one body. Each part has its own gifts, its own strengths, its own way of contributing to the whole. But only when those parts are put together can God's full will be realized and accomplished. Each part of the body must therefore be willing to lay aside their own agenda in order to serve the common good. That's what makes for healthy community. Our gospel gives us one more piece of the puzzle in terms of making an authentic, healthy, vibrant community. And that is the question that Jesus asks of Peter. Who do people say that I am? The disciples come up with all these answers. People have wondered, you know, Jesus, we know you're a God person, and maybe you're like the reincarnation of a prophet, but maybe you're Jeremiah, or maybe you're Elijah. We're not quite sure, but it's Peter, impetuous Peter, flawed Peter, who comes up with the answer. You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Peter is able to lift up Jesus despite all his many flaws. Throughout his whole life, he is able to focus on Jesus and his relationship with Jesus, his understanding of Jesus, and that enables him to subsume his own agenda and his own ego. So these, to me, are the critical elements of what make a community healthy. A focus on Jesus, putting Jesus at the center, lifting up Jesus, understanding Jesus, and following Jesus enable us to lay aside our own pride and ego and agenda. And this is very countercultural. I often think, you know, I recently went through the search process at St. Philip's, which I want to say was a very spiritually led process in my view. But so often a church says we want a new priest and we want them to just tell us where to go. They're going to have this great vision and they're just going to pull us along and drive everything. And I thought, that is not my understanding at all. Because if it's all about my agenda and my vision, yes, I hope I am seeking God's will, but that's missing a huge part of the puzzle. It's missing the fact that there are lay leaders with a sense of agenda and purpose and vision. There are members with a sense of agenda and purpose and vision. And it's only when we can all be in the process of discernment, of seeking the presence and leadership and direction of God, feeling sometimes more than thinking, that motion and trying to get into that channel of grace, that we can find the way that we are being led, that we can become the kind of vibrant community that we are meant to become. That unlocks energy from all of us because we can all then participate in this movement of the Holy Spirit without vying for competing agendas. Yes, we may all still have different ideas, different priorities, different gifts. That's fine. But where is God moving in this church, in this community? How is God leading us? Can we keep the focus on Jesus as the Messiah, the Son of the living God? Can we fully appreciate, develop, and lift up the gifts of every member as they seek to serve Christ in community? Can we have the kind of humility and mutual love that will enable us to truly become more and more a loving, vibrant community? These are the critical issues for us and for every Christian community, in my view. And we can give thanks that God has used in the Bible flawed servants like Moses to accomplish miraculous things. I will say, however, Moses had a pillar of fire and a pillar of cloud. It's not always that clear for us. We have to do a little more inner work. But God used Peter and the disciples. God has used saints throughout history who had strengths, but who were fully human and flawed, just as we are. My prayer is that we can work together to lift up, to develop, and to put to use the gifts of all of us as we seek to follow the direction that God is giving us and to continue to focus on Jesus as the pioneer and the perfecter of our faith. Amen.